From NPR News, this is News in No Time. Tony Cox in for Farai Chidea. Hope, disbelief, and a renewed faith in the American dream. These are some of the thoughts being expressed today by many African Americans who, quite honestly, never thought they'd see the day a black person would actually be within reach of occupying the White House. But now that Senator Barack Obama has clinched the Democratic nomination for president, we're going to talk about the impact of that historic event from a generational perspective. With me today is civil rights icon Reverend Joseph Lowery, who co-founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and was a confidant of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We are also joined by Afi Odelia Scruggs, an independent journalist and writer. Thank you both for coming on.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Reverend Lowery, first off, tell us how you felt the night that Obama clinched the number of delegates needed to secure the Democratic nomination and gave his speech.
Well, when I got up off the floor, I brushed myself off. Oh, frankly, it was a warm and very spiritual feeling. In the Old Testament, and you know you got a preacher here, so you may have some biblical references, which I hope doesn't violate anything on public radio.
You go right ahead.
But the Old Testament talks about the year of Jubilee has come. I think this is a Jubilee experience. Frankly, I never dreamed that I would live long enough to see the American promise turn toward reality in the body politic in such fashion. It's a great moment, and I think Barack Obama was right when he said, America, this is our moment. It's not a black moment. It's not a Democrat Party moment. It's truly an American moment, for this is what America has claimed to be.
Well, let me ask Afi, what was your response when you, that night, the same way that Reverend Lowery described his?
I went on Facebook to write on my niece's wall. She's 22. She lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And what I was struck by was the fact that she said that she was happy her 91-year-old great-grandmother, my grandmother, lived to see the moment. And after I responded to that, I called my grandmother's sister, who is in her 80s, and we have been sharing this since Iowa, and we just talked about the span of her life and the span of my life and how miraculous this is. We've been using the word miraculous quite a bit.
Reverend Lowery, looking back through the civil rights struggle, is there an event, a singular moment, or a specific thing that you can point to that brought us to this day with a black man conceivably winning the White House?
Well, I think we have to go back to, oh my God, we can go to so many places. The first thing that came to mind was 1957, when Martin stood in Washington at a prayer pilgrimage and cried, give us the ballot. We had not yet the right to vote in many, many states in this country. And Martin saw the ballot as a means of unlocking doors that had been closed and locked against justice and liberty for generations to come. And then I have to go again to the Voting Rights Act, which came as a result of that cry and the Selma to Montgomery movement, which removed barriers and restrictions from voting, and not only permitted African Americans to vote, but permitted African Americans to run and to seek public office. Those are two of the instances that come to mind, and I could whip my memory box and come up with some more if I had to, but those two come to mind at the beginning.
Afi, let me put this question to you. Do you think that black people have been wrong about how whites see African Americans, or do you think that that perception has changed, embodied by the nomination of Barack Obama?
No, I don't think black people have been wrong about how whites see African Americans. I live in Ohio, and Barack didn't take Ohio. We haven't been able to elect a black person to a statewide office in Ohio since I've lived here, and I moved here in 1990. However, I do think his victory gives us inspiration and shows us that the overcoming is possible. I think we had been so beat down that we had forgotten that we have the power. We can flex our muscles, and we have flexed our muscles in the past. Joseph Lowry, Reverend Lowry, can talk about that. I think our people had lost hope, and I think this has given us hope in our power again.
If Reverend Lowry, if Obama were to lose in November, how much would that change the euphoria that so many African Americans are experiencing at the moment? And would it signal, do you think, that things haven't really changed all that much?
I'm not even going to think about it. I think that we're on a roll. And I think the American people, you know, when Martin cried, and on August 28th, when they officially named Obama the Democratic nominee, it will be exactly 45 years since the March on Washington, when Martin cried, you know, don't judge us by the color of our skin, judge us by our character. And I think that's what the American people have done. American voters in these primaries and caucuses have felt a pull at their heartstring. They've felt deep speaking unto beep, and they have responded without regard, without restriction of color and gender. For as a matter of fact, I think we have to consider that as a mark of progress as well. But I think that's going to catch on, and I think it's going to continue through November, and I think we're going to see Barack Obama reap the benefit of people looking at the candidates through commitment, through intellect, through character, and through the belief and faith in their determination to turn the page in this country's history.
Afid, to follow that point, Reverend Lowry's point, how much of a difference do you think Obama being elected president would make to the everyday lives of not only African Americans, but white Americans as well?
Oh, I think it would be revolutionary. I just want to say, though, that you don't get a revolution without pain. And in this country, you have to realize that white identity is built upon notions of supremacy. I think it would be very, very traumatic to the established notion of white identity, because now, in order to admit that someone is your equal, you have to acknowledge you are not superior. So I think on that issue or that point, we're going to see a sea change. In terms of African Americans, I think it could be revolutionary for us, because we will really have no excuses. It doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist. It doesn't mean it's not institutionalized. But we cannot say that it is more powerful than we are, or that our efforts cannot defeat it. So I think that it could be quite traumatic, quite painful, and quite joyful at the same time.
Reverend Lowry, there has been talk for some time now, I know that you are aware of this, about whether there is still a need for a civil rights movement as we have known it because of the changed outlook on race by younger Americans. Is Obama's nomination evidence of that?
That we don't need a civil rights movement?
Not in the way that we have in the past.
Well, I'm glad you qualified it, because we've not reached our goal. Obama's nomination nor his election will mean the automatic elimination of all racial disparities and racial discrimination in this country. We would have reached another level, another high mark, but we'll still have a long way to go. And I think we always must remain vigilant. We always must insist that the standards and the barometers used to measure progress and to measure justice respect the commitment to move beyond race and gender and color and creed and et cetera. It's a new beginning. There is no automatic end to racism and racial restrictions because of this nomination, nor even because of the election. Yes, we will still need vigilance and determination to keep the nation honest.
Do you think that Barack Obama's involvement in politics to the point that he has reached so far, are there already signs that there is a coattail effect for others who would aspire to something as high as this?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt but what he's had a sweeping effect across the country, and many candidates for office are now hoping that they will be swept into office, and so do I, because it would be tragic if he ends up with a Congress that is, you know, that expresses antipathy toward his objectives and his ideals and his commitment. So I would hope that his coattails are wide. I hope that he gets the kind of Congress that will support him and work with him. And I think the people's mandate will help in that and will help influence Congress. But yes, we're going to have to continue to hope that his coattails are wide.
Final thing for you, Afi, is this. Do you think that African-Americans in particular, the electorate, we know that it has been energized for the primary, but will it continue through the general, do you think, the general election?
Yes. Yes. I definitely think so. I think Americans in general are much more sophisticated about the political process. I think African-Americans had been feeling disillusioned and disenfranchised. I'm really hoping that African-Americans will turn the hope into work. And I'm optimistic about that. I'm optimistic about that. My 88-year-old aunt is talking about taking people to the polls in Chicago. She has to. So when I hear that, then I feel like, you know, the efforts are going to be there. Folks are going to hit the street. People understand that this is going to be a victory that will be very narrow, and we're going to have to work to get it.
In 10 seconds, Reverend Lowry, is this the mountaintop that Reverend King was talking about?
Well, it's approaching it. It's at least another plateau. And I don't say we're at the top yet, but we're climbing in the right direction, and we're our faces turned toward the city of justice and the city of hope and the city of promise. And I think Barack's spiritual presence has had such a positive impact on citizens, black and white, brown and red and yellow. And I hope it will continue, and we will see this as the beginning of a new era.
This is where we have to stop, Reverend Lowry. Thank you very much, sir. Reverend Lowry is a veteran civil rights leader. He co-founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He was joined by Afi Odelia Scruggs. She is an independent journalist, writer, and digital storyteller. She joined us from WCPN in Cleveland, Ohio.